Hey guys, salam alaikum. It's been a while. I am coming back onto Sincerely Sumayya to share something really important with you. I was thinking to myself that if I was going to record a last podcast and have a message to share with the world, with all of the listeners, with all of you guys, what would it be about? And this struck me as something so important. I thought, let me hurry up and record it and put it out there so that it can be documented and present and there. And if anything were to happen to me, this would already be out in the world. So what I want to talk about is the importance of dhikr, especially four things specifically, four types of dhikr specifically, and the impact that they have. The way that this kind of came to my attention was through watching different clips on YouTube, which are mostly in Arabic, where they're telling stories of people who maintain the practice of reciting dhikr in large numbers and quantities, some in small numbers, and they've seen miracles and blessings and changes to their state and their situation. And things that were impossible for them and things that they thought would never get resolved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned it around for them through this practice of dhikr. And as I said, there are four things that they focused on saying and that got them this result. The first one is istighfar, of course, astaghfirullah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And there are different phrasings that you could use. You could say astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh, or astaghfirullah al-azim alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh, or the longer version sayyidul istighfar, which we say in our morning and evening adhkar, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant, that one. And so the practice of being an istighfar and how that brings about blessings and increase in rizq and taking care of your issues, and for Allah to bless the person with material and like life situation, barakah and blessings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it in the Quran, where He says, وَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا, that we're told to seek forgiveness from our Lord because He is the most forgiving. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about all of the blessings that descend upon the people who do their istighfar. They seek Allah's forgiveness. And we know that there is, you can do research. It's not a lecture type of deal. If you want like a hadith and background knowledge and more information about the specifics of the reward and the phrasing and the prophetic traditions, the Prophet ﷺ talks about how he feels that there's a change to his heart throughout the day, and that he finds himself asking Allah's forgiveness, you know, like over 70, 100 times in a day. So there are authentic narrations as to this being a prophetic tradition and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran for us to seek forgiveness and to erase our sins with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regain closeness to Him, and to offset the harm or any blocks that sins might be causing us. You know, the idea that you're making dua to Allah, you're seeking His blessing, you have things you want to happen, you have things you want to avoid that you're afraid of happening. So you want protection from bad things, you want the blessing of good things, and what can get in between you and that happening, and your answer dua, what can impair that are sins. And so asking Allah for His forgiveness removes those blocks and those obstacles and opens the doors for those blessings to come through. So istighfar, seeking Allah's forgiveness, is the first out of four. The second one, and I'm going to go over this one quickly because it's pretty straightforward, this is saying la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And we are taught that this is a treasure from the treasures of paradise, saying la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no strength or might or ability to do anything except through and with Allah. And we say this when we are in situations where we feel like things are outside of our control. Again, similarly, things are impossible. We know that the only one who can change is Allah. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. The third one is to send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And like istighfar, you're sending your peace and blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there are different ways to phrase it, different ways to say it. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Salah al-Ibrahimiyya, which is the long version that we say at the end of every prayer. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. And there are different narrations that have different variations in the wording, and so the kind of experiences that I heard through these videos of people talking about their stories of healing from, you know, severe illness, people facing depression, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned everything around, people who were, you know, in having lack around jobs or income, who were struggling financially, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them in impossible ways, ways that they could have never imagined would happen for them, people who were afflicted with the unseen, evil eye, magic, and Allah, and they had been suffering with this for years and doing ruqya and seeking healing and doing everything they could. And once they started sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of them, you know, people, individuals who are telling these stories are talking about the numbers. So they'll say I did it 10,000 times, or some people say 500, 100, 3,000, 1,000. Me personally, I'm not counting, because usually I don't have a counter, or I'm not focused on the number as much. And also, not focusing on the number sidesteps the issue of something being outside of the sunnah. Like when people say recite this 24 times exactly, it's where did you get that from? Was there a hadith that said to do it that number? So you kind of avoid that issue by just increasing in it. Do as much as you can. Keep your tongue busy with it. Say it as much as possible. And it's recommended to send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Friday, which begins Thursday night at Maghrib until Maghrib time on Friday itself. And that people were telling stories of how Allah blessed them, opened up their eyes, things where they didn't have clarity, they were given a direction. He changes people's hearts, he fixes their affairs. And there is a hadith, we're told from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there's a companion who comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asks him, what percentage of my dua should I spend sending salawat on you? So in the etiquette of dua, you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you send peace and blessings on the messenger, you ask Allah for forgiveness, you thank Allah for his blessings, and you ask for what you want. So he's saying, how much time should I spend sending salawat upon you? And he keeps asking, is this enough? Is this much enough? Is this much enough? So then he asks, what if I made my entire dua just sending salawat upon you? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds to him and tells him, if you were to do that, then your sins would be forgiven, and all of the things that worry you or concern you or that you want to happen would be handled. So sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it kind of skips over the need for us to even ask. Allah knows what we want. And people talking about in their salah, so when they're in sujood, in qiyam al-layl, or in five daily prayers, and you have that opportunity to make dua and have an answered dua, they just say, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad. They just send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they're in sujood, and everything gets handled for them. Everything gets taken care of for them. I'm not at the stage where I feel my life is, everything is fixed and I don't have problems because I fixed them by doing this. But I wanted to jump on here and tell you guys about it, because it's such a beneficial and beautiful practice, it literally changes your internal state, the state of your heart. I think one of the things that a lot of us suffer with is that we felt really disconnected from acts of worship. And at times it's natural, at times for Iman goes up and down. So there are times where we feel like we're flying high, and there's times where we feel like basic acts of worship are a struggle. And so the beauty of sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unlike the other types of dhikr, is that it opens up your chest and brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such an extraordinary way. I find that it makes other acts of worship beautified to you and easier for you. So if you struggled with Qur'an and you start sending salawat, you'll find that Qur'an is becoming easier. If you weren't able to pray like sunnah prayers or duha or witr or something, and it felt like you were always exhausted and you could never fit it in and you would always miss it, then sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah, you'll see that it opens up doors for more good for you. So it's kind of like a booster dhikr, you know? It contributes positively in all areas. And we know that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that when someone sends salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah azza wa jal gives them 10 good deeds, erases 10 sins. Some reports say raises the person 10 degrees, like in their status, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His mercy back on that person. And that this is a practice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. He tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ, that indeed Allah and His angels send peace and blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ, send your peace and blessings on him, وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. So this is something that Allah Himself does voluntarily by choice, to send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and His angels do, and you are becoming, like you're joining a group that do this beautiful practice, and you're becoming like them by doing it and getting closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many people, in telling their stories, have said they've seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their dreams, or, you know, they've had beautiful experiences come from this practice of sending salawat. And I just want to emphasize not getting deterred by the numbers, not saying, well, these people are doing 20,000, that's why they've reached a special status, but me, you know, I can barely do 100, I'm busy in my day. A sincere and present heart sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah knows. And inshallah, you'll see the effect of it. So I've said three. So I mentioned first istighfar, asking Allah's forgiveness. The second is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, a treasure of the treasures of paradise. The third is sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the fourth type of dhikr is to read Surah Al-Baqarah. And this is something I wrote about on Substack and shared a while ago. And it is, you know, I understand it's a big surah, and a lot of people need to divide it into parts, and, you know, whatever works. I think that having a regular relationship with the Quran, reading it daily, even if it's just a few pages, a few ayat, if you can do more, than great, but exposing yourself to the Quran, especially Surah Al-Baqarah. And we know from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Surah Al-Baqarah comes on the Day of Judgment along with Ali Imran like clouds, or like a group of birds that cover and shade the person who used to be their companion in this life. So there's reward in the hereafter. There's the reward of reading the Quran, and also that Surah Al-Baqarah is a protection from any spiritual ailments, magicians, evil eye, they can't stand up to Surah Al-Baqarah. So Surah Al-Baqarah has that healing effect. And this is something that people have seen, myself, including others. And if you just go on YouTube and look for miracle stories or my story with Surah Al-Baqarah, you will find so many people talking about the blessings that have come into their life from reading Surah Al-Baqarah. We're talking, you know, 49 pages or 48 pages. And so you do 7 a day, 7 days a week, and you're done. Or if a person can do more, great. But the practice of just cycling through Surah Al-Baqarah, we know from the hadith that the house where Surah Al-Baqarah is red, the shaitan cannot come into that house for 3 days. So if you cycle through the surah every 3 days, or you're constantly reading it, you're protecting your home environment, yourself, your family, and it's really, really important. These dhikrs, saying these types of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have a really extraordinary effect on our mood. If you're finding yourself kind of in a like messy, depressy kind of state, where things are just not going right for you, you're not feeling great, you know, if it's on the sharper end of things and you just feel like giving up and you don't know if you want to be here anymore, start sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Really start with the salawat and see the difference, and see how it pulls you towards doing more. See how it just lightens your load. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending His mercy back down on you when you send your peace and blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a profound effect. And you're doing it, you know, several times in a day, as much as you can manage, as much as you can remember to. And with practice, inshallah, your tongue will get used to saying it. While you're distracted, you'll just catch yourself saying salawat. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad adad ma tuhibbu wa tarda. You'll just be going. And the reward is being written for you. The blessing is coming down on you. Allah eases and aligns your affairs. Acts of worship are drawn closer and made more beloved to you. You'll find yourself wanting to learn more about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wanting to learn his seerah, wanting to read books of hadith, wanting to know more. I just feel like it cleans your heart in a, I know that's like a strange way to say it, but it makes your insides clean. You just feel good. It purifies your heart, and it just makes you better in every way. And I think for me personally, I knew that you should send salawat on Fridays, and I send the reminder on Fridays to tell people to do it. But it wasn't I didn't have like a wird. I didn't have like a number that I'm trying to hit, or the practice of saying it all the time. It was just when I hear the Prophet's name mentioned, I would say alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or, you know, remember on Fridays to do it a bit more. But I didn't have the practice of doing it a lot. And now I'm trying to build that practice. And I know I'm new, and I'm sharing it with you guys already because I don't want you guys to miss the opportunity. And I want us to grow the practice together. And I want us to share the stories with each other about how it just lit up our lives and brought so much good to us and brought us clarity. And whoever Allah elevates and allows to see the Prophet ﷺ in their dreams, or to have these like glad tidings and miracles and blessings on their life, write them in the comments. Send me a message. Tell me like, I've started the practice and this has gone right for me. You know, I've been going through XYZ for X amount of time, and now after sending salawat, Allah just opened a door for me out of nowhere in like 2 days, in a week, in a month, in 3 days. And, you know, everybody's situation is different, and Allah knows our sincerity, and Allah knows our presence of heart, and Allah knows what we want. And this is my final point, is that, you know, sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because you want to use it as the magic beans, so that you can get what you want, I think is level one. Then after that, you move from doing it to get a result to doing it because you want to send salawat and you love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you want to greet him and you want Allah's mercy on you. And we know that when we mention Allah, He mentions us, and that your name and your voice are reaching the skies, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling His angels about you and mentioning you to those closest to Him. I can't imagine something more beautiful. I mean, I remember in the story of Yunus alayhi salam, when he cries out from the belly of the whale and the angels say, "This is a familiar voice from an unfamiliar place." He had the habit of talking to Allah already. He was known, and you want to be known to the people and the inhabitants of the sky. You want to be known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you're mentioning Him constantly. You want to be known. There is no cooler thing. There is no bigger flex than being known and loved by Allah and His mercy descending on you, like while you're going about your day and like grocery shopping or making food or like coming from work or commuting or driving. Like, and Allah's mercy is following you and descending on you, there's nothing more valuable than that. So I wanted to share that with you guys. Please share with others and let them know, and keep me posted on how you guys are getting on. How have you been getting on with Surah Al-Baqarah? I have one list of things that I attribute to the blessings of Al-Baqarah, and I started a second list of the things that I attribute. To be completely, full disclosure, I've fallen off the boat with Surah Al-Baqarah. I would get busy for a couple of days and then jump back on. And then, so it's not this perfect, execution on my part. But you know what? I don't have to be a perfect person to share something beneficial with you. And if there are people out there who are listening to this that are going to nail this execution, and I can get even a fraction of the share of their reward, then like that's winning, okay? As I tell my kids, like homeschool maths, look at the multiplication, that is awesome. So this is not to indicate that I've perfected it and I've got all this together and it's all working for me 100%. I've seen others, and primarily because these resources are in Arabic, talking about it, and I thought, I need to tell everyone who will listen, that we need to jump on this, because so many of us need help. So many of us are struggling. So many of us are having a hard time. So many of us are so touch and go with our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we really want it to be more, and we really want to be closer, and we want that clean feeling inside. And once I saw what this does, I thought, girl, you better tell him quick before you die. Go tell him. So now you guys know, and you have, I'm passing you the baton. Share this episode, send it to people, let them get in on it and be each other's accountability partners and tell each other about this and ask each other, what happened for you, and let it be something to connect over and rejoice over. You won't believe where I am now, after X amount of time with salawat, with starting Surah Al-Baqarah, and I'm just doing a page a day, and I'm just going really slow, but I'm there, and I want Allah to see me. I want Allah to remember me and mention me. I want Him to be proud of me. Where are we? Look how far we've come, and look at what we've done. What a beautiful thing. So there you guys have it. As always, Jazakum Allah khair for listening, and I look forward to sharing more. Yalla. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.